This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The West unleashes the latest round of economic sanctions against Russia as the crisis in Ukraine escalates. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The U.S. kicked off a wave of international condemnation of Russia's decision to recognize the independence of two eastern Ukrainian territories and send troops into breakaway regions. U.S. President Joe Biden issued an executive order stopping American business activity and imports from the breakaway regions. The U.K. is expected to follow suit with its own set of sanctions due to be unveiled in just about an hour. Here's Prime Minister Boris Johnson this morning giving a preview of what's to come.
We will immediately institute a package of economic sanctions targeted not just at entities in Donbass, in Lugansk and Donetsk, but in Russia itself, targeting Russian economic interests as hard as we can. I'll be setting out a bit later on in the House of Commons what we are going to do. This is, I should stress, just the first barrage of UK economic sanctions against Russia, because we expect, I'm afraid, that there is more Russian irrational behaviour to come.
Well, the European Union is also finalising its sanctions package, which is expected to be in line with that of the US and UK. The response from Western allies was thought to be coordinated, so why are sanctions announcements coming at different times? For the answer, we called Tom Keating, director of the Centre for Financial Crime and Security Studies at the Royal United Services Institute.
I think we have to just stop for a second and say, well, what does coordination look like? Jake Sullivan, the US National Security Advisor, said 3 or 4 weeks ago that you wouldn't expect there to be a kind of cut and paste action across the three different sanctioning countries. And of course, I'm sure other countries will follow too. So I think we need to have a look and say, well, sanctions from the US might target certain areas where the US has particular influence, for example, financial sector. But sanctions from the EU might focus on other sectors where the EU's got more leverage. So I don't think we should expect coordination to mean everybody doing the same thing. I think we should expect it to mean communication, which leads to the most comprehensive possible package.
And what's been set out, at least by the U.S. and likely, it seems, by the U.K. later today, is a limited sanctions package. How much further could those measures be extended, and what would the criteria really need to look like in order for that to happen?
Yeah, I have to say I'm very surprised by how limited the first shots fired by the White House are. And the reason I say that is because it doesn't feel to me as though sanctions in connection with the Luhansk and Donetsk People's Republic areas have much intersection with the United States or indeed with the UK or the EU. So I'm very surprised because as far as I was aware, it had been made clear that, to use Boris Johnson's phrase, should a Russian toe cap cross the border, then sanctions would be instant and massive. This seems like, honestly, taking a pea shooter to a gunfight at the moment.
So what do you think would need to happen in order for them to be ratcheted up?
Well, that's a good question. And frankly, I wonder whether what needs to happen is what we all don't want to happen, which is meaningful military incursion into areas that Russia has not previously occupied. And that is not to downplay what Russia has done previously in destabilizing eastern Ukraine. And if you look at the UK published a very useful explanatory memorandum when it put out its sanctions regime a couple of weeks ago. And it talks about the UK needs to be ready to act if Ukraine's sovereignty, independence, etc. is further destabilized. And I would argue that what's happened yesterday on Monday with the signing of the order by President Putin absolutely meets that test. So I would be calling on the British government to use the fullest force of sanctions. But it seems as though that's not the strategy that Western leaders are going for at the moment.
And you mentioned part of the strategy in Western sanctions is a consideration of how those would affect countries individually. We've talked on this show before about how Russia has really sort of been able to insulate itself economically and, you know, and its financial system over the last several years against exactly this sort of thing. So how big of an impact do you think even a full set of sanctions could have on Russia in the end?
I think that's true that since 2014, Russia has tried to reduce its reliance on foreign investment, tried to build up reserves in the central bank, all those sorts of things. But fundamentally, there are major economic and financial connections between the West and Russia. And those connections are still very much evident. And so I think we can expect there to be a significant impact on the Russian economy. The question is, how can the Russian economy recover from any sanctions that are placed on it? And so I think that the Russian economy is in a far better position to, if you like, enact alternative strategies should the West go large, as it were, with their sanctions. They have had this import substitution strategy in Russia for quite some time. So they've been preparing for this moment.
That's Tom Keating from the Royal United Services Institute there. Soaring geopolitical tensions are pushing global stock markets down again today. Benchmarks across London, Frankfurt, Paris, and Madrid are down in the 0.2% to 0.9% range. Investors are heading for usual safe havens. Gold prices are ticking higher, while government bond prices are rallying. Meanwhile, oil prices spiked this morning to their highest level in 7 years. They've since come down off those highs. West Texas Intermediate is up 4.2% to $94.96 a barrel, while the global Brent crude benchmark is up about 3% to $98.19 a barrel. The BBC's Samir Hashmi has been keeping a close eye on those developments from Dubai.
There are concerns that if Russia decides to stop supplying oil to Europe, that would lead to prices going up by as much as $10 to $15, could even touch $110 per barrel, according to many experts. So what happens going ahead? Is there going to be a short supply in the market, especially if Russia decides not to supply to Europe? Well, there is an option of countries like Saudi Arabia, the UAE and Kuwait, which have some spare capacity. But given how OPEC has been operating since the outbreak of COVID, where they have restricted supply, it's still not clear whether they'll step up to meet that demand.
Now, we're talking about oil prices, but natural gas is also on the agenda today as exporters are gathering in Doha. Russia-Ukraine tensions presumably are high on the list of discussions.
Well, yeah, I mean, the timing is very important. This is an annual summit, but the 11 countries that are taking part together account for 70% of the proven gas reserves. And now, with concerns about Russia's gas supply to Europe, that's going to dominate the agenda of the meeting. Now, interestingly, Russia is also part of this forum. President Putin was invited to attend, but he hasn't, which is not surprising. Russia provides about 40% of Europe's gas demand. So if that is to stop tomorrow, where will they go? And Qatar and countries which are part of this forum are, of course, the alternative. But the issue is that it's not a very easy thing to do because these countries already have commitments. And for them to increase supply, they would want long-term contracts to be signed by European countries, which would assure that if they're going to ramp up production, there would be buyers in the market even in the long term, 5-10 years from now.
The BBC's Samir Hashmi for us in Dubai. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you, Victoria.
We'll be sure to stay with Marketplace throughout the day for the latest developments on the crisis in Ukraine. For now, in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.